Can you hear me? Yeah. All right. Did y'all hear my prayer? Okay. I thought I might have to do the whole thing over again. I remember as a very young teenager, I don't know, probably 13, getting in an elevator that was basically a cage with several other people. The clanking sound, I can remember it like it was yesterday. And this elevator just went down into this underground cave. And I remember even as 13, it being really kind of just uneasy, you know, going down and down and down. And the whole time you're thinking, we're really sinking into the earth. This cave is called Carlsbad Caverns. Perhaps you've been there. And when you get in, you are surrounded. I mean, it's really pretty cool looking down there. You're surrounded by stalagmites and stalactites and things jetting from the ceiling and the floor. And they have all these different lights shining on them. And it's really pretty fascinating. But then they bring you to this one point, kind of this opening in the cavern. And this is when they just love to scare the snot out of everybody, because when they get you all together, they shut off the lights. And if you've been there, you know that it is the thickest darkness you could even ever imagine. I mean, you cannot see your hand in front of your face. Just a really sinking feeling. I was 13 at the time. You know, 13, you think that, you know, you got the world by the tail. But I remember at that moment thinking, what if these lights don't come back on? And when they finally came on, there was just the sense of instant relief. You know, that's when you're like, oh, okay. I had it the whole time. Well, the prophet Isaiah foretold of the first Christmas, and he told it as the story of a light that penetrates the darkness. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, the prophet says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." People walking in darkness. That's a very dangerous way to live. I remember my dad once nearly knocked himself out cold when he was going through the house one night, lights completely off, and he ran smack into a pole, kind of like this one that we had in our house. And he had this black and blue shiner to show for it. And we didn't laugh. And, you know, walking in light, in darkness it's a dangerous thing. And yet that's how the prophet describes basically the world that we are walking around in, just a deep darkness. And yet, he says, a light has dawned. I love that. And yet, not everyone was thrilled about that. Not everyone was thrilled that this light had come. In fact, John says this in John 3, verse 19. He says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Hey, little man. No, this is awesome. He's like, wow, people. People love darkness, and they turned away from the light. In his wonderful novel entitled This Is Happiness, the author, Neil Williams, tells us what happened in a very tiny Irish village called Faha when they first got electricity and when the lights came on. You kind of probably need to read this in an Irish accent. I can't really do Irish. It kind of comes out a little British and a little Scottish combination. It just doesn't sound right, but no, I'm not going to try. So just imagine, picture it, you know. I'm aware here that it may be hard to imagine the enormity of this moment. The threshold that once crossed would leave behind a world that had endured for centuries and that this moment was only 60 years ago. Consider this. When the electricity did finally come, it was discovered that the 100-watt bulb was too bright for Faha. The instant garishing was too shocking. I guess garishing, that sounds like an Irish word. Dust and cobwebs were discovered to have been thickening on every surface since the 16th century. Reality was appalling. It turned out Cinny Doon's fine head of hair was a wig, not even close in color to the scruff on his neck. And Marion McGlean's healthy allure was in fact cake makeup the color of red turf ash. In the week that followed the switch on, store owner Tom Clohessy couldn't keep mirrors in stock as people came out of the country and bought looking glasses of all variety, went home, and a merciless illumination endured the chastening of all flesh when they saw what they looked like for the first time. I read that story, and I think exactly what John says, that people, when Jesus came, that he came as a light into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light. Makes sense that we would react the same way. Because when the light of Christ shines in our hearts, we discover what's actually there. We see the cobwebs, we see the dust, we see the sin. But fortunately for us, it's not a merciless illumination, as Williams describes it. It's pure mercy when we run to the light instead of away from it. After all, there's really no getting away from light. John, the disciple, put it like this. He says, the darkness cannot, speaking of the light, the darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness cannot overcome it. I learned something interesting this week, that according to quantum physics, light photons exist even in darkness, but you just can't see them. In other words, darkness doesn't exist. They are hidden in what is called, quote, a dark quantum state. And it becomes observable light when measured, and whatever that means, it flips by erasing the inference pattern that keeps it hidden. I see you're as stunned as I was. In other words, the light is always there, even in the darkness. But it's hidden from us. It's hidden from us. And thus everything appears dark. And that makes so much sense of so much theology. The Holy Spirit inspired John to write about quantum physics 2,000 years before anybody ever even knew what that was. We walk in darkness because we refuse to open our eyes and see the light that's actually there. Reminds me of the religious and political leaders that were around when Jesus was born. Blind guides, you could call them. The religious leaders, they had all the prophecies at their disposal from the Word of God, yet they chose to keep their eyes shut to the point that they were blinded. In fact, Jesus said of them in Matthew 15:14, let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. The political leaders believed they were the light of the world. They would conquer and divide for the betterment of Rome, bringing a better life to everyone. Let me tell you who didn't walk around with their eyes shut. Lowly shepherds watching their flock by night. Pagan astrologers who followed the light of a star till they got to the light of the world. Simeon, an old man with a heart of gold, who God had promised would see the consolation, which means comfort or relief, of Israel before he died. And so I look at these two groups of people, the lowly, the pagan, the old, the forgotten, and then the religious leaders and the political people, the people in power. And I think, how in the world did one group see and one group didn't? And then I ask the question, how about me? How about you? Are your eyes open or shut to the truth of Jesus? Do you see him as the treasure that he is revealed to be, as the only light of life by which we are saved, as the Lord of all, which includes all of our life? Jesus declared in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isn't that awesome? Jesus came into the world to save sinners, those who were walking in darkness. This little baby that we talk about at Christmas was sent to show us the light of God, to shine the light and say, this is what God is actually like. He was sent then to die for our sins, a God who dies. Satan, along with evil men, tried to snuff out the light by nailing him to the cross. The Bible says that while Jesus was dying on the cross, that darkness literally covered the land. And then he shouted, it is finished. And he died. Satan, along with those evil men, celebrated that fact that Jesus had died. They were rejoicing in that. The light had been extinguished, and he said himself, it is finished. Right? It's done. They won. But he didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it is finished. Maybe they shouldn't have celebrated quite so fast. Because we ask the question, well, what is finished? When he said, it is finished, what is finished? Everything that is required for salvation has been accomplished. I think we mistakenly think that God will love us if we change. It's like, oh, I got to go to church. Someone's going to hammer on me, tell me I need to change. The gospel says God will change us because he loves us. We're not to focus on how we're doing, but on what Christ has already done. It's called the gospel. And the gospel, as you know, ends that 3 days later, when a sealed dark tomb, a place of death, is open, letting light, a beam of light, to reveal that Jesus was no longer there. He is risen. The darkness of the grave could not overcome the resurrection light. Now the light has come to all mankind who believe. And the light is coming again. So we've been celebrating this Advent for the past month, and Advent is about remembering the first time Christ came. The word means the appearing. And we remember the first time that Christ came, but we also anticipate when he will come again. And in between that time, Jesus says to his people, now you are the light of the world. You are to take this light and shine forth for all the world to see. In fact, he said it like this in Matthew 5, says, you are the light of the world. The city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Sarah Pescucci, I think is how it's pronounced, received a letter in the mail on February the 3rd, which was a nasty letter scolding her for still having Christmas decorations up on the house. The anonymous letter read, quote, take your Christmas lights down. It's Valentine's Day. Well, while the letter would have upset her in normal circumstances, she said it hit her especially hard because she had just lost both her father and her aunt to COVID in less than 1 week apart. Her father, who lived with her, was the one who put up those Christmas decorations. He did it immediately after Thanksgiving, as he did every single year. And the weeks following his death, which took place on January the 15th, Pasucci couldn't bring herself to take him down. And so receiving this letter, this harsh letter, she said, quote, was a major blow to the heart. No one really knows what is going on inside the house or why we didn't take down the decorations. So she shared the letter on mom's Facebook page. And with it, she explained her circumstances. And she wrote this, quote, the family has been preoccupied with funeral arrangements, mortgage utility payments, and just the grieving process of it all. So yes, we haven't gotten around to taking down the Christmas decorations. Then she says, be kind to people because you never know what they're going through. Well, people were outraged who read that. And she received messages and cards and flowers and meals. A GoFundMe was started to help her with her bills. But the most wonderful thing of all was that there were Christians that lived in her neighborhood that attended a nearby church, and they had heard about this, and they were talking. And they just said, you know what we should do? We should go back to our house and put our decorations back up so that she won't feel so alone, that we will show her that, you know, she's not alone, that we are in solidarity with what she's going through. So they went back to their house. They went back into their attics. They pulled everything back down. They put everything back on the house, all the lights on the house, all the lights in the yard. And they were literally lights in the darkness. That's what it means to be the light of the world. That's what Jesus said that people will see. Right? He said, they will see your lights when they see your good works, when they see your good deeds of love and action. So between the Advents, between the first coming of Christ and the second, we're called to be those lights. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for Jesus. We thank you, Father, for everything that he is, everything that he has done, and everything that he will be to us one day when he returns. And Father, we thank you, Father, that through Jesus Christ that we can have salvation because he died in our place. He died on the cross for us. And so, Father, as we celebrate that fact tonight, as we take communion together, Lord, we are reminded of that. We are reminded of everything that Jesus did, of the flesh that was torn, of the blood that was spilt. We're also reminded, Father, that he's coming again, that we will sit down with him for a meal like no other at the Lamb's Supper. And we're reminded, Lord, that we take this together as a community, that it's not just a bunch of individuals, but we do it together. And then we are to take that good news and light up this community with it. Light up our own neighborhoods. So as we take this, Lord, I pray that you would help us to look at our own hearts. And Father, just take this time to confess our sins, to allow you to absolve us of any sin that we bring to you. Your word says that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. So we bring them to you now. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the blood of Christ that covers over our sins. We thank you for the atonement by which we are covered and set free. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.